Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're online at soundcheck.org. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch a higher floor.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. A new book takes a look at a 30-year-old classic album and film and song, all of which almost never happened. Prince's Purple Rain is the subject explored by the marquee rock journalist and critic Alan Light, who joins us today to talk about the making of this improbable 1984 masterpiece, Purple Rain, 30 years old this year. Alan, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
For you, this is a personal story.
Well, it is, I guess. I think there's probably no record that came out that meant more to me in real time than Purple Rain did. I mean, not going back and finding Beatles records or Marvin Gaye records or whatever, but the actual experience of living with a record as it was coming out, I don't think there's anything that hit me as hard as Purple Rain did. It was a particularly vivid moment, you know, I guess in anybody's life, that when this record came out and the movie came out in the summer of 1984, that was right as I was graduating high school. So I will date myself right there.
But those are, as we know, those are formative years for your music taste.
Absolutely. And, you know, and my friends, my high school friends and I were already huge Prince fans and had gone to the 1999 tour and had already been on board. So we were counting down, the days until this project was out there. And I really do remember, you know, waiting up till midnight. They were going to premiere the new single, and I had my cassette recorder by the radio. And, and what came out was When Doves Cry. And it was, you know, instantly mind-blowing and sort of earth-shattering. When Doves Cry came out in May of 1984, the soundtrack album came out in June, and then the movie opened in late July. So they really did kind of stair-step this project. And when they had a number one single, the album came out. And when they had a number one album, the movie came out, resulting in the first time in history that an artist had simultaneously had the number one single, number one album, and number one movie in the country, which is a pretty remarkable thing.
That is pretty remarkable. And that number one single, one of the most stripped down, bare bones number one hits in music history.
Yeah, I think, I mean, nothing sounded like When Doves Cry then, and nothing has sounded like it since.
Is When Doves Cry. So that was the first shot across the bow from The Purple One in the run-up to the release of the album Purple Rain and the film Purple Rain. You refer to it in the book as an emotional biography of Prince.
Yeah, I think, one thing that of course was so fascinating at the time was we knew so little about Prince. And it's astonishing to go back. He did not do one interview during the entire cycle of Purple Rain. Now, imagine, doing that today when everybody's tweeting every 5 minutes and when it's all about visibility and impressions and everything else. This was about complete removal and total mystery. And so when the movie came out, we knew it wasn't a documentary, but how much of this was true? How much of this was his own story? Were these the relationships? We really didn't know, including that he was very coy about presenting in the film that he had a mixed, that he was the result of a mixed marriage. he was, you know, I think, so obsessed with not closing any doors, with keeping his identity so wide open. Mm. And that even came to sort of not speaking about the fact that both his parents were black and that's who he was. That was, you know, that was all left very vague. But I think that, you know, in thinking about it, this is, you know, maybe excessive, but comparing him to another Minnesota musician, thinking about Purple Rain next to something like Bob Dylan's autobiography, you know, next to the Chronicles book.
And,
and Chronicles is an amazing book that we know huge parts are made up.
Right.
Or are, you know, filled in with details that are not true. I drove this model car when I came to, from, you know, to New York City. Yeah, they didn't make that car for until 3 years later. That's not what you drove. And I think it's that distinction between sort of what's accurate and what's true.
So the making of this movie is one step away from Mickey Rooney turning to Judy Garland and saying, let's put on a show.
It's barely a step away from that, yeah.
I'll get the barn. I'll get the clothes.
You know, we look back. I think that, you know, we look at Purple Rain with a certain sense of inevitability. I mean, he was the great genius of his time. There was going to be something that would be the vehicle that would translate that out to the world, and this was what it was. And, of course, that happened. If you go back to that moment, here's a guy who had two pop hits,
right?
You know, had just been introduced to a mainstream audience, did no press, again, was not, you know, a conventional celebrity, who went to his managers and said, get me a deal for a feature film or you're fired. Now, huge rock stars have made movies that had been disasters. You know, most recently, even within this company, Paul Simon had done One Trick Pony, huge flop, you know, and here was a guy that Mick Jagger, Dylan, all these people had not been able to translate. And here was somebody who, I went to Hollywood and the studios had no idea who Prince was, like, didn't even know what you're talking about. So in the end, they put this thing together with, you know, first time director, first time producers, Prince as the star who's never acted before, his band as the bulk of the cast, and they, you know, decide we're going to shoot this in Minneapolis in the winter. Now, which piece of that sounds like it's going to be a big success? What out of that leads you to blockbuster? And I think, you know, if there is anything that spending, you know, this much time thinking about this project, you come to appreciate, he just had a vision that he willed into a reality, that he saw a potential and a possibility for what he could do if he harnessed his music and his image in the right way. Nobody else around him understood. Everybody thought he was nuts, thought this could never work. And they made back their full budget the opening weekend when the movie came out.
Prince, Purple Rain, Alan Light's new book, Let's Go Crazy, Prince and the Making of Purple Rain. That was 30 years ago. And the idea that the film and the album are growing up together in an era when Americans want their MTV.
The thing that brought me into writing this book was I was really interested in looking. I sort of do have this fixation on the summer of 1984. Again, it has personal resonance, so I remember it very clearly, but it's an amazing moment. In the summer of 1984 was Born in the USA, Purple Rain, the Jackson's Victory Tour, Like a Virgin. It's in some ways the biggest explosion of pop music that we ever saw. It's kind of everybody's first project after Thriller.
Right.
It's everybody's first project after MTV had shown this national presence. So everybody's sense of scale and possibility had ratcheted, you know, way, way up.
So for folks who haven't seen the film, it's about a guy and a band and several bands. And there are rivalries, there are relationships, there are, you know... people torn between two right. or multiple lovers. There's a father figure who's kind of, you know, distant. It's about a musician and a band. Songs that weren't specifically written for the movie can easily slot in. It's about a band, after all. But this song, I Would Die For You, seems to, the way it's used in the film suggests that he had something in mind.
Yeah, and you know, at least from Prince said that this was a phrase that he had heard his father say to his mother, that within the complexities and the sort of torment of their real life relationship, that this was something he had said that had stuck with Prince, and is used in the, you know, in the film, it's used as a line of dialogue, and it then reappears at the end of the film as the sort of triumphant, accepting final statement.
Alan, with the benefit of hindsight, no longer being that starry-eyed high school kid who fell under its sway 30
Mostly
years
not.
Ago, how well does the film stand up now?
Well,
that's enough of it.
I think, you know, there's two things. That, obviously, there's at least two things you have to do. The performance stuff is astonishing, and it's all the more astonishing because Prince has, I think, done himself a great disservice by, you know, not allowing live footage to be available
online.
On the net.
Yep.
The documents that existed of the Revolution, there was a show filmed during the Purple Rain tour in Syracuse that was a VHS tape that never went to DVD. Even a little bit later, the Sign of the Times quasi-live performance film that's gone out of print. Purple Rain is really, you know, even if it's watching them very meticulously lip sync to their live performances, it's the only document that exists of this band in their prime that you can see. So that stuff is, you know, holds all of its power and in some ways holds more because it's all that's out there. The hardest part of it, to watch now is the way that women are presented and treated. Now, the defense of Prince and his team in all of this is, well, you do have, you know, the movie hinges on Wendy and Lisa trying to get him to accept them as musicians, you know, using their song to build Purple Rain. And it's when he finally does that and embraces that he has the big breakthrough. So certainly there's a counterbalance to scenes that are really difficult to watch, like when a woman runs up screaming at Morris Day on the sidewalk and they take her and body slam her into a dumpster and throw her in a garbage can, and sort of any excuse to get Apollonia back into lingerie.
Right.
Any time there's a way to do that, they'll do that. So I actually watched, you know, Questlove taught a Prince course at NYU last semester, and I went when he screened Purple Rain, and a lot of his students had never seen Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
People taking a Prince class who had never seen Purple Rain. And you could hear audible gasps at some of these scenes, at the way that women were treated at different moments in this film. it's 30 years ago. It's a different, you know, it certainly was a different time. I think that's when you're most aware of it.
Yeah. Well, and what about Prince's legacy? I mean, Purple Rain, you know, was a real high watermark for him musically. And certainly, you know, his music career has continued with a few, you know, peaks and troughs. But what about his post-Purple Rain film career?
Well, the post-Purple Rain film career is not a distinguished career. I think there's something that's fascinating that happens, though. He, you know, Prince takes over the world with Purple Rain, biggest star, biggest film, biggest everything, goes out on tour. It's the biggest ticket in the world. And then very abruptly cuts off the Purple Rain tour after about 6 months. Doesn't go to Europe, doesn't take it overseas, tells the band, you know, about a month before, like, we're about to be done. And, you know, you compare that to the way that Springsteen went and toured Born in the USA for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. and went arenas to Europe, to stadiums, to Australia, to, you know, and Prince, you know, I think there's kind of two things that happen at that moment. I think on the one hand, you know, he's now at the mountaintop and he looks around and sees what it takes to be a pop star and sees, I'm going to have to play the same show for the next year and I can't do it. I've already made the next record. I'm already thinking about the one after that. I can't be trapped by what it is to go and fully exploit a pop opportunity like this. The flip side of that is he just made this film that everybody in the world said he was crazy to do and it would never work. And it was a huge triumph. I think at that point it became very difficult to say no to him because he just proved that he knew better than anybody else. So why isn't that going to continue to translate? And that is the tension that you see through the rest of his career. Does this guy want to be the biggest cult artist in the world that has a million people who will follow him anywhere, whatever experiment, wherever he goes? Or does he want to be a stadium-filling, huge rock star who plays halftime at the Super Bowl? And these things have played for 30 years now battled. And so when he wants to make more movies, you know, then he decides he can direct the next movie. And that's Under the Cherry Moon. And that is an abysmal failure.
Yeah, yeah.
So much so that the soundtrack, I mean, the Parade album that was the soundtrack to that film, going back to that, is a fantastic record that, I mean, it had Kiss on it. It had one of his biggest hits ever. But in some ways, I think history has skipped over that record because of its association with the film. It certainly didn't slow down where his musical creativity was. And then he does that again, and he does, you know, he makes Graffiti Bridge, and, you know, again, it's a flop. So, you know, his manager at the time, Bob Cavallo, told me that he went to Prince and said, you know, you can't be Miles Davis and Elvis Presley. Which is a fantastic line. It says,
Francois Truffaut.
That's right. You can't be this pure artist and this pure creator and also want to be the biggest megastar that's out there. And Prince has always wanted both. And you're allowed to want both. And in this moment, he got both.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way of putting it. I mean, you know, hats off to him for wanting to be both. But, you know, he caught lightning in a bottle that one summer 30 years ago. And Alan Light tells us the story behind the making of Purple Rain in the new book called Let's Go Crazy. And Alan, it's a great story and well told. Thanks for telling
us. Thank you, John. It's happy to be here. Come on, baby.
You subscribe to the Soundcheck podcast? Leave us a rating and a review in the iTunes store by searching for Soundcheck and clicking on Ratings and Reviews. We'd really appreciate your feedback.